Oh.
You better stock up on Fruit Loops.
Oh, that's a much better. Better juice than fire.
And pull your shots.
Then make
And pull your shots.
That's beautiful.
It's going, oh, yeah.
I did that's what I did. I thought that would be the healthiest, but my body feels
okay. Okay, we're gonna do the Henry Alexander and Una Walker Beach House next. The property owners are here in the back. Okay, this is another one with not criteria A, but criteria B this time. The Walker Beach House is also out on the east side of Oahu. It's closer to La'ie. It's between La'ie and Haula. It was built in 1940. There was an additional bedroom added in 1958. Albert Ely Ives is the architect for it. Very handsome. And again, I'm nominated at the local level under Criterion C as a very good example of beach house designed during the 30s in Hawaii, and also significant under Criterion B for its associations with Admiral Chester Nimitz. Nimitz I'll address because that was the catch point with the state again. There's a book written about Nimitz at Ease, which is totally on his stay at the beach house. It's written by Captain Lilly, who's a grandson of the Walkers. He married a Walker daughter, or actually he didn't marry a Walker. His father married a Walker daughter, and his father was attached to Nimitz, so they met out at the beach house. He came across Una Walker's diary, which records her daily life, and he was struck by the fact that Chester Nimitz came out to the beach house almost every weekend while he was here in Hawaii. Nimitz, as you know, is not only the commander-in-chief of the Navy in the Pacific, but he was also commander-in-chief of the Pacific Ocean Area. So he had total control not only over the Navy, but also of the Marines and the Army and their operations. The only building in Hawaii that's associated with him, that's on the register, which I still have a terrible time that they put on the register, is his command headquarters, which is at Makalapa. It was put on the register in 1987 as a National Historic Landmark. If you want to talk about integrity, this building doesn't have it. The exterior walls, they're three-story concrete, two-story wood, are all original. None of the windows are original. None of the doors are original. The stairs that could connect the floor.
You talk about one over the
Saturn? Yes, over there, just to let you know. No, 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 not at all. Total opposite here.
I would just recommend that, like, we don't have any documented evidence for the claims that you're making because they're not presented in this nomination, nor are you differentiating between original material versus appropriate like recreation of a historic material because of wear and tear. So I would just hesitate making that assertion in order to talk about the historic significance of this resource.
The interior is also totally altered, reconfigured.
This is also his home in Texas is also
yeah right. But I'm doing this at the local level, so I'm just looking at Hawaii. So just to let you know, that's the only other building that's associated with him in Hawaii. The house that we're nominating is here. The property encompasses all this. This corner of the nomination, I have the map. I show it's cut off. This is in really bad shape and is coming down. So we didn't include that corner of the property in the nomination.
A garage?
It was a caretaker's home originally, but it's not habitable. Next. Here is the house. The original house This is the bedroom wing. Here's the living room. The kitchen wing is over here. This is the cabin that was added later. Nimitz's stayed in another cabin, slept in another cabin, I should say. He stayed here, but was on this property, and that's been torn down. Next. You come in from a dirt road driveway. Next. Go over a bridge, which is part of the property, and then here's the house. Your kitchen wing is to the right. The new bedroom, well, new from the 1950s, is to the left, then the main house. Double pitch hip roof, very much Hawaii regional style. Board and batten, a beach house as well. Here you can see, you can look right through from the back lanai to the front and out to the ocean. Here is the small bedroom that was added in the 50s. Here again, double door, Dutch door, excuse me, going out into the main house. This would have been the main entry to the house. Scored concrete floors. Next. And here you can get a view of that lanai. This is your living room. Essentially, there is doors that can enclose it, but essentially it's open. The window on the left is fixed, but the other one is an 8x8 double hung, rather large, but very good. Open beam ceiling next. Oh, sorry. Next, here's the doors that it actually it's an accordion or bifold or quadruple folds that come out to cover that whole area, which is in that closet stored, which I thought is a very nice way to store it too. It is. Next, then here you can here's the windows I was telling you about. Again, you can see the fine attention to detail in the woods. Ives is very much into detail and meticulous in his design. Next, there's the ceiling. And next, you're virtually living outside. Next. Here's another view looking in. You can see where it would have been enclosed. There's pocket doors that enclose the two at this end, as opposed to, but the other ones, it's just a giant run of folding doors. And then you have a real lanai outside that, which is also under the roof. Next. Here's a view here, and you can see down to the lower part of the property. Next. And here you can get a sense of that part of the land as well. And the stream that the bridge crosses runs around the perimeter and forms close to the boundary. And then here's the house again.
Right here.
Wrong.
It's really good.
Next.
She's getting really good at
Yeah, she is. Then here, you can see just at the door here that goes into the kitchen, and here they have a sliding doors, and again a pass-through to go serve people out on the lanai as well. They have a little table here where you can put your condiments or whatever else you want. And they have interesting seashell sort of formed lights. Next. Here's the door into the kitchen. You see the original doors throughout the house, original hardware on the doors. Next. Okay, there's that pass through. Go. Oh, I guess go back. Sorry. The kitchen's all been remodeled. I guess that was the slide before. If you want to get a closer look, but that's all new. Okay, continue. Then you have your bedroom wing. The bedroom, there's three doors, three bedrooms, all original. Next. Here's a view of one of them, interior screen door. And the windows also all have interior screens. Next. Here's a view of the interior. Actually, this is exterior screens. Casements have interior screens all. And double hung windows, all original throughout. Each bedroom has its own bathroom. The first door is a closet. Then the bathroom to the right where it's open next. And you can see they have built-in shelves. Your sink, and across from the shelving is a wood shower. Ives, some of you are sort of familiar with him, not, but he, superb architect. He was a big society architect on the East Coast. Winterthur Museum, if you're familiar with that, which is the home of the DuPonts, he designed that, among other ones. He married Kinau Wilder and moved out to Hawaii in 1933. And this is the house he did for Lieutenant Governor, well, what it was called at the time, but essentially the lieutenant governor of the territory, Haight. And we registered this house a year or two ago. Next. And you can see this has a very large lanai, which is outside where I think the beach house is even more informal with the living room just really flowing out. Next. This is another house. I forget the name of it, Bill. I think you went out to see this in Kaneohe. Nancy Peacock's. Yeah, but again, similar idea. You can see the big double pitch hip roof, the sprawling horizontality. Uh-huh. Next. And here's a totally different example of his work. a modern house that he did also in 1939, which is also on the register. Next. And there's the interior of that. You can see how he opens up the interior there as well. And I think that's it. Oh, no, one more. The Johnson residence. Oh, two more. The Johnson residence on Nuella, which another, again, starting this way, but going Asian interior. Next. You can see the interior of this house. This is the living room, the dining room beyond. Very meticulously done again. Next. And also in 1948, down in Mexico, he did the home for Barbara Hutton. And good. I'm glad you're nodding. I didn't know if you know who she was, Grant.
Oh, no, it was, I'm surprised that it was sitting in New Mexico.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, next slide. Here's another view of that house. So,
who did the bridges and things in the park? Was that I?
Who?
In the Al Warren Park.
No, that's Harry Sims Bent.
Harrison,
yes, exactly. That's why. So he's a very well respected designer, especially from the period he lasts up through the 50s before he dies. And when he did die, Ossipoff said, with his death, an era has come to an end. And so.
I see that his comments here. So on style, I guess if we were to, so we, I hope we can all get together and have a meeting about style, because I think other Hawaii regional would make sense for style.
Yeah, I think our biggest concern at Shippy so far has been that because the language hasn't been solidified anywhere, we have these inconsistencies across the board where it's been referred to it. Another building that's very similar has been referenced as this, and then now we're going to Hawaiian regionalism, and then we just need to, like you're saying, Bill, create some sort of style guideline of our own so that there's consistency, so that when folks in the future go to do research and try to like look for terms, that it's easy to find what they're looking for.
Right, and I think it's important that when you look at this, what's capitalized on the instructions and what's not, I think we capitalize is what they tabulate, and the other is also ran.
And I think I have been using Hawaii Regional fairly consistently of late.
Yeah, we actually, as a board, over the last 5 years, we started telling people to call it Hawaii Regional.
Yeah, I know the Haight residents, we definitely called that.
We had a debate about the Dilk residents, whether it's late Hawaiian regional or actually postmodern revival regional.
Yeah.
So that's something we have to consider. Because that was built in 1972 by Ossipoff, right in the period of the beginning period of postmodernism, but he did it in a retro style.
formalizing like kind of consistent naming and definitions will help everyone.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm. Right. In the future, someone might see two things that we now consider the same and not understand that they're the same.
You look at really earlier ones, you're going to see Hawaiian style.
Yeah, just, it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not so much in the Shirodaka style. But when did Nimitz leave Hawaii?
Okay, Nimitz came to Hawaii on Christmas Day, 1941.
Right.
So 17 days after Pearl Harbor, had direct orders from Franklin D. Roosevelt, I think I mentioned in the forum, get the hell out to Pearl Harbor and stay there till the war's over. And he'll stay there until January of 1945, and then the headquarters will move out to Guam. So from January 42 to January 45, he was here in Hawaii, and almost every weekend he was at this beach house.
Guam has been taken in July 44.
Right. And so then they moved so it'd be closer to where the action
is. There's a whole year of bombing for the atomic bomb.
Yes. So he was here for
3 years.
3 years. And I think it's an important 3 years. And I think also, like I noted in the nomination, he said this is the only place where he could get a good night's sleep when he was here. And I think rest and relaxation is part of military.
For people interested in the history of World War II, Nimitz is a gigantic figure. And I, even before coming here, knew about Nimitz going to, I thought it was Lani Kai, but no, knew that he went to a beach house on weekends. That was a big part of his stay here.
So I guess I have a question regarding that, because portraying B, I think it's misunderstood sometimes. And I just want to make sure that we're meeting the benchmark here for what that really means. My understanding of B is that you really need to be able to document that, and demonstrate that a place has strongly influenced a person or the person has strongly influenced the place. So it would be like a childhood home that shaped someone's perspective growing up, or a building that was built based on the vision that has been documented from someone. Like there's... I worked on a project for the there's a military hospital that was built based on a sketch that FDR did on a napkin saying, here's how I want this hospital to look, and they still have the napkin. So in that case, he's got a significant association because it wouldn't exist in that form if he hadn't had the vision for it and passed on to the, be constructed. So, usually there's a pretty high bar for association, and so I'm not sure that that's here, even though Nimitz is really important. Being a guest somewhere doesn't necessarily, even if it's in a repeated way, is there a demonstrated influence that's at a level that is National Register or, register worthy?
Just the things that
so
come up the most often everywhere I've ever worked, but particularly here. Is their significance. Like, that's something that often they don't reach that bar. Just an important.
No,
we agree that Nimitz meets that bar.
Well, it's not so much the significance of the person, it's the significance of the influence that either the person had on the place or that the place had on the person's life.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't, as long as the person is significant, it might or might not still be because of that.
Stress relief.
I remember running into this.
No, stress relief is not, in our opinion, and Chippy's opinion.
It's not an important part of the human factor.
No, it has nothing to do with Criterion B.
It's only that we have proof that he only stayed here for spending the nights every couple of weeks. It's not consistent. Whereas we ran in with this issue prior where Paul McCartney stayed at one of the houses for 3 months' time, wrote songs, and those songs were affected by the views of the home. We denied that for criteria B.
Well, no, you suggested that for criteria B, and I denied it.
Yeah, and we didn't agree with
we
that.
We didn't agree with that.
In this case,
this is not
criteria.
I would say if you had evidence that not only did Nimitz chill here on the weekend, and raised it to the case of this isn't a George Washington slept here situation, but that he did direct command maneuvers from this vacation home.
He was doing the opposite. He was getting away from that.
But that's the whole thing. Like Nimitz in and of himself, his significance to Hawaii was as the commander of the Pacific and the Pacific Front during World War II. And if he is coming to this location to do rest and recuperation over a couple days here and there, that is a George Washington slept here situation, in my opinion, and does not merit the level of criterion B that you're suggesting at this point. The review board can disagree with Ship D, but if Ship D will not forward this nomination if it was wanting to go to the National Register with criterion B in it, because Park Service would not approve it.
I'm not sure they would
not
approve it.
I don't think they would, because I have run into this with National Park Service. You know,
I remember not arguing. I remember doing hydroelectric plants, which every single one Edison visited, and you could argue that he had a substantial part in their design as well, and yet I wouldn't even have considered making those criteria. Nor did the Park Service at the time think of that even.
Well, because it wasn't direct, right? Maybe
no,
something he did or related
to it.
It
was sustained engagement in a place, which is actually why I think I wouldn't have supported the Paul McCartney one either, because I don't think he was there long enough.
No.
I would have thought that was a George Washington stuff.
Yeah, I think we were like, yeah, long enough, I think.
Longer than a Mustang, yeah.
I don't know, like in my, this is where we all debate as professionals, right? I think it's ephemeral. You kind of can kind of decide based on what the events are. I think that from Sophie's case with that one is that not only did Paul stay there, he wrote music that was inspired, that was like popular music that was inspired by the place. And so that raised it to a level for consideration under B.
Well, in time, yeah. How long they're there, I don't think is the point. The
yeah.
point is the influence.
Yes.
Does the place demonstrate that that person influenced the form that it is? Or does the person's life trajectory demonstrate that that place influenced something about their life? Like, can you document that connection? And then it's B.
Yeah, the bit when I saw the interior picture, I had that kind of shiver, like, oh, this is Nimitz experiencing this place.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, lots of people go to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, who are famous, and you can go in there and have a shiver, but it doesn't mean it's significant for their visit. You know?
Or, that's, I don't know, the room that MacArthur stayed in at the Manila Hotel.
It's not on the National Register. Yeah.
Well, it's in Philippines.
Still, the point is that,
but I mean, I would think that might raise it because he was there for sustained periods of time.
So
I don't know. I'm kind of thinking out loud. I'm thinking out loud.
Influence.
I don't have a strong argument on this one.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I'm thinking out loud on this one.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I mean, I don't know. There's the Vassal Longfellow House where Washington's headquarters were during the Boston campaign. Is that listed for its association with Washington?
It's his headquarters, and it is. If it was a place he stayed on his way there, it's not.
Yeah, I would think this is.
It wasn't his headquarters.
Yeah, but like I said, I knew about this when I knew about Nimitz before. One of the things they're always concerned about, usually their houses, and it's not so much that they effectively did something, but somehow this was the greatest expression of their life and their association with their life. And if there's a better version, you only get to do one. That's one thing I remember about criterion B.
I don't know that that's necessarily true across the board. Like George Washington has more than one.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Minoru Yamasaki had more than one. He had his home and studio and his home and then his studio.
If you look at it, they'll often say it's
yeah.
the one that best.
Yeah.
The only one I know that asks you to look at other examples and see if this is the best one to represent. Because most people live in more than one place.
I would say, too, that Marine Corps Base Hawaii has these recreational cabins that are available to prestigious individuals, presidents, generals, that sort of thing. And Marine Corps Base Hawaii, in their documentation, has noted the notable people who have stayed there, like President Obama, Bush, et cetera, but does not recognize that just because these presidents have stayed there, that they're significant, they're eligible to be significant under criterion B in their section 110 survey documents. They just note that these these like bungalows are important for recreational purposes on the base, but that they're that and that these people have stayed here, but they're not necessarily eligible under B. They're all eligible under
I can
C.
see your argument. I do think the Army, I mean, Eisenhower stayed in the Eisenhower cabin at Kilauea Military Camp 1 week, and yet there's a plaque outside
Yeah.
It's a
Eisenhower
history.
camp, and they subjected it to much more stringent oversight when it was renovated.
Well, and that's all good. There's lots of plaques that say George Washington slept somewhere, but are each of those actually
Listed for that
listed
reason,
or
yeah.
listed under B? Yeah, there's importance to someone staying there, but it's not, there's a threshold for B that I don't think it meets for someone to stay. And that's where I think C again is really solid for this. I would not, have any problem with C whatsoever.
I can't imagine going to visit there and not having it brought up. I mean, that's
I mean, you can bring it up. No one's
You're
saying you
looking
can't
at
bring
where
it
he
up. And you can
sat.
include it in the nomination. There's no problem with that. I think Shipty's perspective is that, yes, that's all part of the statement of significance, but it's not necessarily to the level of Criterion B.
Yeah, it is not. I've been around with the Park Service about this in other places, and it's not to that level from my experience, for instance. So
What would Woody Harrelson say?
I don't really
He's not on this board, so
care.
You know what I'm referring to, right? He
No.
plays Nimitz in that movie, horrible movie, Midway, that just came
There's a movie
out.
about Midway that Woody Harrelson plays
Yeah,
Nimitz's.
they gave him a full head of white hair.
What?
Well, I guess it'll depend too on how Nimitz survives through history, but I think he's probably going to become more and more important
Yeah.
now that he's gotten people representing him in
I think
movies
someone
and
is.
stuff.
If I could comment, that in reading the book about our house, it was more than a casual just coming and going. He was out there almost every weekend, and he brought his liaison. Being a commander wasn't a part-time job. He was commander when he was out there. And the liaison would drive back. So it seemed like he was still commanding the forces. It was his sort of his light EA.
I would suspect he lived in his office most of the rest of the
They
time.
built a bunker on the property even for him. I don't believe the book talks about this, but I know the daughter of Una Walker quite well. Her name is Susan Cowan. And when he left Hawaii, he gave Una and Henry Walker his gun case that he used in World War II. And when he signed the surrender documents, he was presented with a sword, and he gave that sword to the family to thank them for his time out in Laie. They also, the water in front of our house is very deep. You can bring a landing party in. It's one of the few places on Oahu that they felt that that would be an area where the Japanese could, come in onto Oahu. So it was heavily defended, more defended than most places. But they, Nimitz had the beach directly in front of our house opened of its anti-landing barriers specifically so he could go to the beach. And so my understanding is that it was not just a, occasional visit, that this was a pivotal place that he stayed significantly. The previous owners, they had the house that where the Nimitz cottage had burned down. But they had an extensive collection. I have a picture of his gun case if you'd like to see it. But they had an extensive collection of things that he either did. They had a small golf course on the property that he could play. And so they had this kind of fun trophy that he had won a few of the games with them. But my understanding is that he was there an extensive amount of time. He would bring his chefs up there. The house also entertained people like Claire Booth Luce, who is I believe, the head editor of Vogue. In her private correspondence with Una, she said that our beach house was the reason why she eventually moved away when she retired. And so we have had quite a few people. Henry Mark, we felt, was the most important, but we've had quite a few people. They just stayed. They haven't really done anything pivotal. But my understanding is that Henry Walker was there extensively for a large portion of his time here.
Nimitz, you mean?
Nimitz. Yeah, Nimitz. Sorry. Yeah, Nimitz.
Oh, all the Nimitz. If we did do this, we would have to put that as a significant date. I noticed your nomination didn't say under significant dates, 1941 to 1944.
Oh, okay. That's easy to change.
It's a great story. It's a great history. And I think it's, you know, it is part of the story of this place. I do not think it is still at the level for Criterion B to be, in addition to C, to be marked on the nomination form based on work I've done with the National Park Service doing this sense with that. I think it's a fabulous part of the story. I think it should be, you know, discussed on the nomination. I just don't think it's B is appropriate. You know,
it's just,
there's a real threshold for that, and it's often misunderstood.
Like I said, usually the threshold that I've encountered is the significance. So that's the problem that most people have. Everybody wants to nominate a mayor or someone who doesn't have such transcendent significance to American history and world history. And on any given day, I guarantee you that the Park Service would flip flop on this.
Nonetheless, thank you.
We have Paul. Paul
he's
isn't
there,
going anywhere.
He's not,
yeah.
He's not me. He's not.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I mean, I said, I'm
kind of excited. So.
Nick, anything from you?
I'm not sure where I fit exactly. I certainly do understand the wanting, you know, to make a really strong case under B. That's got to be a little bit more robust. But I do think what I think the property owner just shared seemed to be, you know, several kind of anecdotes or facts that I think better make that case, which aren't included in the nomination, at least kind of quickly skimming through it. If I missed those, you know, apologies on that. But I think, you know, that certainly does, you know, demonstrate, if I heard correctly, I think you're talking about like bunkers and fortifications and things like there, which seem to be more of the, you know, that stuff, that's not just a coincidental ephemeral association. That's, you know, kind of hardening and fortifying the place specifically to facilitate this important individual staying there, you know, during and in response to, you know, why they're significant. So I think I could certainly see there being an argument for B, particularly if there are material traces of these that are still there. But I'd like it maybe a little bit more explicit and clear on the nomination.
Is the bunker still extant?
So we understand it was roughly where that extension was in 1958. It was between the cottage that he would stay in the house. There is a cement slab that we found buried in the bushes. We do not believe it's part of the bunker, but you know, we're not, it's of that age. There's no evidence that there ever was a shed there. We know the family who built it. They've never mentioned that there was a shed, but they have talked about the bunker extensively.
Yeah, I think that from
Steve is, I think the cottage where he slept isn't there, but the house is there, which is the primary building. But
yeah,
so some of those additional areas that might have been part of the story are not there.
Yeah, and I would, I think that it could be a place to start to make a more contextual argument for B, but still, like, you have to look at other examples too, like. For example, when the Obamas stay here, if they have to put up a gatehouse or protective measures, barricades, that sort of thing, whether they're permanent, semi-permanent, or temporary, that still doesn't mean that if the Obamas are staying in a guest house or renting an Airbnb here for a period of time, that building is then associated with them. So I think that it's looking at the whole context of what were those additions and how did those additions inform this person's use of the property, and then also like how they contributed to it or how it impacted their life, and then how, like you were saying, going on to it. So I think it's possible, but I don't know that it's ultimately evidence that it makes a strong criterion B argument yet. I think that you could do potentially more research to make that argument, but I still don't know. It's not in the document to the level we would want it to be in order to make the case at this point.
Does it change at all that it's only significant on a local level? Like if everyone in the community refers to that's the house that the Obamas stay at in Pennsylvania or wherever they used to stay, you
Not
know? Everyone
really.
else refers to this
Yeah.
house.
It's about the person.
Yeah.
It's not about.
Yeah. I mean, the state, local, and national levels of significance in that portion, which is not the same thing as the state register or the national register, pertain to like who is this place important to? Is it the local community? Is it more statewide, or is it important for the nation? And so even if the connection to Nimitz was local, what local impact did he have, or what impact did this him being here have in this location on the local community? Can you evidence that? Like, would still be something that I would want to know the answer to, other than he's just this really famous guy who arguably like helped to win World War II for the United States and the Allied powers, you know? So it's like,
Other than that,
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
Yeah, he was all over the place. There's a lot of
Spread the
places
word
that
all.
Nimitz went. There's a lot of places that he stayed. It, why is this the
During
vacation
World War
home of
II,
all?
not so much. So listen,
Nonetheless.
I don't want to spend all afternoon arguing about
Yeah.
this, but I feel that, I mean, since there isn't another place that's really well associated as a residence for him here. And the fact that,
Well, there's the residence, there's
this is an
the
office setting, right?
yeah.
You have his office, but this is some most criterion to spend at the residence, not a place of work.
Oh, it
There's
also
his
says
residence
residence.
too.
Yeah, his home is description at the park. Big muffle-up, yeah, where all the senior officers lived or live.
Like I suspect he probably spent most of his time in the office and got away here. So, and it is such a,
Do we even
it
have
is a good
a
story.
motion?
I
We need
don't
a
know. You were
motion.
still
We
asking
need a
questions,
motion.
talking, yeah.
Need a motion.
All right, well, I would make a motion to defer to allow to the next meeting. I have time to consider how to either address criterion B in a way that would reach the threshold that would be acceptable to the National Park Service and the estimation of SHPD, of SHPO, or alternately to remove B from the criteria that are being considered.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Well, arguably, if we had a beach house context that would nicely fit under A and it's been minutes in that
You can
story.
think under C, what else? You can include notes on the story, just under,
But I mean,
just
does it
submit it
put
under
him in the
C.
A story? Because it fits perfectly into the
Beach
A
house.
story because of the elite's connections and people getting together for entertainment because there wasn't the forms of entertainment.
Before Steve,
But
what are these beach houses done? You might want to write that book and
nine,
the largesse of
nine.
the other wealthy people.
For now, they
I'll
all fit
include
under
the
C.
Ossipovka. We'll do
Now they're all
vacation,
falling under
Malkin,
C.
and C.
Because A would be a nice way to cover that without having to run into complaints about it. And not like this wasn't a place that affected this, didn't affect this life. I'm trying to, that was an expression of
Demonstrates,
himself.
yeah.
Well, You want to defer it, or do you want to have it?
Defer.
Let's call the vote. All in favor?
Beautiful home. C works.
Yes. Oh, it's not a problem. But I very rarely ever do B, but I thought this was one that rose to that occasion.
An interesting story.
I think the story should stay. It just shouldn't be aiming to make that a National Register.
Yeah, I think you're making the National Register more than it is.
I've had this argument
before.
There was other things.
Well, we're not talking with the Park Service, actually. We're talking with you.
No, we're talking about the rules that are set up by the Park
Service.
No, they're
not rules.
Criteria. Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Not really a code or like a set guideline.
Yes, exactly.
Don't be part of those stuff. What's next?
Kaiser.
Did you guys get enough of a break earlier for lunch?
I don't think we're going to do it.
I think we have
4 more.
2:30, you gotta get out.
We have 4 more. You
want
more?
I can call them and tell them I'm not gonna make it.
Yep.
Sorry. I will write Carlos and tell
so
my
Adrian
family.
Adrian is in favor of lunch break for lunch.
We have like a
unfortunately, they don't have the stores that open anymore, right? They were closing when we went over there, right? I'd like to get a sandwich myself, but.
So how long do you want to break for?
I don't want to break for long.
15 minutes?
Half an hour?
Half an hour?
I
have to
leave at
4. Yeah, we
have
to leave, so
we have
4 more.
All right,
there's
one. If they have a sandwich, I would love to have it, but I'd be happy to eat it right here.
Well, if they're closed, then they're closed.
Closing at 4 o'clock. Let's go see what they're open.
Yeah, let's,
you know,
if they're open.
If they're open,
sorry.
Let's take a 20-minute
break.
I don't want to run too long. So 20 minutes only for lunch. We can, I guess, eat while the next presentation.
I'm happy to eat while presenting.
Yeah, let's do that.
Bill's checking to see the restaurant. Or the
I was going to run and do that. So that works.
Next time I should bring a charcuterie board or something. I don't know.
Cheese and wine.
Cheese and wine, yeah.
Crackers?
Yeah.
I mean,
cheese and crackers and wine can sit there and be like the incentives.
Yeah.
Oh, I brought paper towel because I forgot to pick up napkins.
For some reason, when I was like,
I got back from the store last night. I was like,
I
got
20 minutes. I emailed you everything that I found on the
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we found two things in Pegasus. One was it, and it's on the cross section of one's a National Register, and another one was a trigger or talent or something.
You just go straight. It's all that. It's all that.
If it was torn down recently and it's listed, then it would have triggered 6010.
Yeah, so I don't know what the 42 was.
Yeah, so it must have been a project before it was listed.
But that's the thing, is the listing is from 2018, and when it got listed, she said, well, 3 years ago. So.
Mm-hmm. Unless it never got listed and they just tore it down under 6042, we're all mistaken.
I can check the list, because that Hikers thing that I sent you, this is the only one that's there. Or, sorry, the other one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no actual register. Yeah. She's in for an open, or she's going
to. I think he was going to go check to see if they were open. I didn't hear if he said that they were or not.
Come back.
Yeah, he hasn't come back, so I'm like, where'd he go?
Oh my goodness.
Breakfast, lunch, and probably dinner.
Carbon.
Meetings right after this.
Are you going
okay, it's open.
It's
so we'll take
15 minutes. So just come back at 1:15.
No, what is that?
Riza, Lisa?
Yeah, what about her?
Is she having her DRC?
No, the cafe across the window.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not on her committee anymore.
Oh, you're not?
No, they said I could only be on one committee.
For lunch.
And I'm on
we'll be back in 15
committee.
Minutes.
Yay!
Hannah.
We've none of us have formally met Brittany yet, so I don't know if you've met yet, but Brittany's here.
It's Brianna.
Brianna, yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. Brianna. That's happened a little
bit. We're getting close. Brianna is our new member of our staff.
Yeah. Very nice. Thank you. Like
from the stuff. College of Charleston, where she got her degree.
Well, Clemson.
Clemson.
Yeah, we aren't
Charleston.
Associated with College of Charleston anymore. My year was the first year we were just Clemson.
Okay. Clemson in Charleston.
No one likes Charleston. The college. The college ruined the town.
Savannah's better.
Brianna,
some
right.
Intercollegiate rivalry going
on. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to mention her during the staff report at the end, as well as the other staff updates. But yeah, we probably should have at least done an informal like introduction.
I was thinking we had one of your staff here with her daughter, right? Was that?
Oh, that was Regina Hilo. Yeah, she's one of the burial site
right.
specialists. She's with the.
But I didn't think Sophie had a daughter of this age.
No. I think they're the same age or very similar. So yeah, I don't think that'd be possible.
Okay. All right, this is going to be a.
This is a boundary amendment for the Kaiser Estate. I don't know, built for the.
No, I missed one of them.
Oh, you missed the first one too?
I missed the very first one.
Okay.
And then I'm never going to be good with this one, I don't think. Because the first one was the one that you made certain decisions that then fell into place for the other
yes.
ones.
Everything, the ball keeps rolling. So, essentially, the house, Henry Kaiser's house out in Waikai was put on the register. In 2019, significant because of its association with being with Kaiser.
Did he sleep there or did
he? He did, but I think it was also his home.
Yeah. He was on the tax records.
Yeah,
it.
So there because he.
2023, the second section was added, which had a trophy house, dog kennels, and now finally the third section is going to be on. It was he proposed. It's at the end of Port Rock Road, 555, 561, 565, Port Rock Road. It's actually three parcels. Mm. Next. The house was built in 59. George Wright was the architect. Edwin Bauer was the local architect working on it. Built in 59, the Henry and Alice Kaiser Estate is locally significant under B for its close association and unique association with Kaiser. So that's already been established. So all we're doing is amending the boundary. Next. Here you can see the house. This was the first parcel that was put on. Here's the second where the dog track was. And there's a trophy house under these trees. And there's a feature out here. This was the second part that was added since 2023. Today we're going to be adding these three parcels, which and encompass the entire estate essentially put on. There's a servant's quarter that's here, vacant land here, and then a boathouse here. Next. Here you get a look at the first two parts that were put on. The house is the blue roof on the left, then the trophy house is in the middle. And then next slide. Today we'll be adding this part, the servant's house and the boathouse and the harbor and the just vacant piece of land here. This is the servants' quarters. It's been has good exterior integrity. The interior has been modified. Next picture, please. It's essentially a hip gablet cut shingles, which I know you'd like, Bill, rather than something else. All the windows are original. They're all sliding windows, 9-pane, and. Has a portico in the front and then lanai on both sides, rectangular building. segmental arches for the openings on the lanai and the portico next. Also still has this little treatment on the frieze. It's original, it still remains. Next. And here's a look at the house from the rear. Again, all the nine pane windows or sliders, they're all original. And the exterior is very much as it was intact. Next. Here's a view of one of the lanai at one end. Next picture. The lanai at the other end. You can see the sliding doors, all of which are original. There's also similar doors for the front door going in. The marble floor is not original. You don't know when it was put in. When you go in the Eva side, this is what the Eva side looks like. It's all been converted into office space and workspace. The ceiling is original, panel ceiling. Here you can see the doors again, the windows, but everything else, any partitions are gone. That we're in. Next. looking out, this is all new with frames for the doors. This is all new. These with the little corner. But here's the front door. We go into a lobby area. Then you had rooms off either side. Next. Here's looking, if you go straight and just go straight through and out the back door. There's a bathroom in here now, which is new also, remodeled. Next. And then this is the room on the other side. And there's also beyond this door, they do have a space for a caretaker living there. I couldn't get in there. It was locked and the caretaker was off property. But it's all new too. So that's it for that. The old house is actually four stories high. The first story was used for boats and storage equipment. The second floor had gardener, and the third floor was used as a barbecue area and party picnic area. It's in bad shape now, but they were hoping to do, they decided to register because they want to do some work on rehab. I find it also exceptional that he did get to have a boat harbor. The only other one I know of is Doris Duke's. That was pretty special.
Jimmy Cromwell's little.
Yes.
Slipped.
Next. At the top, this is a little structure, which I don't know what function, but it looks like there's another little visual pavilion. Okay, next. Here you can see the driveway that goes down to the boat harbor. Next. And then the boat harbor goes out and there's a breakwater at the end. Next. Here's another view of that. Go. And another view, you can see how they pick so that the waves will slosh up rather than in. Go. And here, there's a bridge, which I think may be original. And if it is the original, it's the first aluminum bridge in Hawaii, which Kaiser, not the first Kaiser aluminum. Next, been mucked up, as you can see, but I'm quite sure that the low railings are all aluminum still. And in the boathouse, as I said, three stories. Go. This is the first story. All gutted out. There used to be doors. They're all gone. Next.
Are there any pictures of what it looked like before it was gutted?
I haven't found any yet.
Okay. Just curious. It's kind of empty.
And here is another view looking the other way at the first floor. Next. Then here's where they bring the boats in to work on them. This is the second floor. Originally, this was the gardener's business. So again, you can see that this has been all quite cleaned. And a view from the other side. All concrete construction. Kaiser also ran the concrete plant out here. So that was convenient and easy. Next. This is the third level. CMU, there's what looks like a used as a garage now. And then The other part goes under. Next. So you can get a view of what that garage had, all windows, both sides. And here's the top level, and also going to the third level from here now, but there used to be other access. The internal stair is gone. They have wood stairs now, and even those were safe. I couldn't use them to get to this level. Next, then here that goes into a room that has a rounded end at the end. I think where it's all boarded up was originally open, probably with some kind of folding doors or something. Next, here you can see from the outside that what the area looks like to the left. Next, here you can see the third floor was in an L shape, and that's all used for storage now. And again, he's a lot of work. Next, here's what it looks like on the inside. You still got your choice and everything, but everything else is gone. Next, here's the level. You can see the third and second level as well as the inner level. So then here's the top level. We got this double row of dentals. Next. Here you can get a closer look at that. I imagine there were sliding doors here, but they're no longer. The windows are all gone as well, as you can tell. Some funky mobilian on them there. They're on both the exterior and next slide, the interior also.
You think those are original or? Probably not, right?
I don't know. They're real weird.
Yeah.
Just a relief panel, right?
Yes.
Not a modillion.
Yes, sorry, yes. Wrong word. Next. And here's a closer view of that. And I think that's it. Yes. So, again, it's essentially a boundary amendment to add this to what's already been determined to be significant.
Well, now we got Adrian here, maybe you can explain. I had always thought that criterion B had a higher standard for integrity and that A was the easier one to slip by places of lower integrity. But the B thing happened when I was off for 2 years.
So this is extending when they, and it's only under B. It's not under C, there's no design significance?
No, it was only registered under B.
Okay.
I think because of the
of Kaiser.
Loss of integrity on the
most of
for C. I would have thought A would have been the route to go originally.
I wasn't involved
in that. Lorraine was involved in that. So.
Yeah, I remember we had this conversation with the second amendment.
Right, I brought it up again then.
Yeah. Well, and I remember we were discussing about the integrity of the poodle,
the dog run
thing, and whether or not, you know, it even had any integrity or whatever.
And the trophy house too.
Trophy house too.
The trophy house looks nice now.
Oh yeah. I wish we can go back, you know. But yeah, I remember that kind of the argument that I thought that made sense at the end of that conversation was that it, even though it was no longer the dog run and it was whatever it was now, like a tennis court or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they kept, you know, the shape and the kind of landscaping of it.
The edging and stuff was still there.
It kind of still told the story of the person and, you know, particularly his wife and their poodles and everything like that. So as long as as long as it continues to tell the story of the person and their life.
I think once we opened this door and went down that pathway,
that's where it was.
This is a logical,
yeah, I mean,
logical like, continuation of that.
It's already
these
there.
Have more integrity than the last part that was there.
Sure.
I think with the last one too, it was, I think we were all in agreement when we were reviewing that even Shifty was in agreement that there were significant integrity issues to the trophy house. There were significant integrity issues with portions of the dog run because there were, It wasn't that things were necessarily taken away from the dog run. It was that they were added to like the grass space in the middle and stuff like that. But that other significant features, like that water feature and then the open landscape, that it was still an open landscape and they hadn't put infill buildings in it. And adding that to the context of the main house made it so that there was still integrity there of the entire site.
Yeah.
Such that if the Kaisers were there, they would recognize it today and it would still be complete. And so there are integrity issues and condition issues with this property, but I think that the reason why, even though it is in bad condition, I still don't understand why it wasn't listed under C originally.
I
didn't
understand
that. It seems
like the ship
then
has sailed, as it were, on the.
Yeah.
And an argument was given to me when I came in after the fact was that because of the poor condition of the interior of the house, the fact so much had been changed. But it seems to me the architectural Ed Bauer and all that connection made it quite in the exterior being okay.
Yeah, well, and then the main house building, since it was originally listed, has gone through a pretty extensive restoration. And I think they were still doing some work on the building when we did a tour of the dog run and that whole lawn area. So I again would recommend that anybody touching this domination in the future make an amendment for C.
I'd go with that.
But the nomination that amendment that was given to us did meet the minimum requirements, and we are recommending for it, even though it doesn't have C in it, that the board move forward on it. But yeah, it's a weird nomination that we all kind of inherited that I think we all agree is a significant property, but maybe we would have recommended it be done differently.
I think that answers some of the questions I had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I had one of the other line of questions around kind of around integrity, but you know, I noticed the nomination said the boathouse was essentially gutted and awaiting rehabilitation, and I'm wondering when the pictures were taken.
The ones you saw?
Yeah.
I took them. What, it should have the date on the nomination.
I don't have it in
we
front
just
of
did it. Well, it was for the May meet or for the like, August meeting.
Okay, so
it was
in
4 months
last
before that.
So last spring.
May.
So, okay, so it looks like there's actively like work going on at the time.
There's some, not a lot.
Okay, so I guess my question
they
is just
what
what's been.
They haven't decided that.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Just sort of cleaning it up.
Okay, yeah, that was kind of my question is, you know, it, has that moved along? Is there a plan?
Not
is there something happening? Okay, just to make sure our information's up to date.
Well,
okay.
On the second part, I think to add to that is, if they start doing restoration work, what are they restoring it to?
That was the other question I had, is if it's being rehabilitated, but we don't know what the original condition was.
Yeah, that's the next person's job. But I know, it's just kind of curious. Like you asked about photos too. Like if there's no photos or plans.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're.
Like it's hard to restore something when you don't have the original conditions documented from back when. You know, like what's the target?
Yeah, you'd never be able to get tax credits or anything like that with the lack of documentation.
Well, and that was sort of part of my question of like, what are they actually doing something to it now and under what rationale, just to understand, like if we're voting to put it on the register and something has been changed since then.
Right.
Like if they got a permit for something or whatever. Okay. Yeah. That was. Okay.
This isn't our business, but just worth knowing. It's like I still get complaints from a woman in the adventure club that you can't actually see it from a public way.
This property?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I think
if
they open it from somewhere, they have to do that once.
They have
a
to
month.
Do it at least once or twice a year is the rule. I think they have to.
It used
open
to be monthly,
for
right?
Yeah, this is still monthly.
Oh, is it monthly?
Yeah, I forget. Certain
second
Saturday
or something.
Yeah, she said she's gone and seen the plaque and looks, tries to look and can't see anything.
Oh, really?
And she always puts
probably it, not the right day.
She lays it on me. She doesn't know there are certain visitation days.
Yeah, because I'm surprised that Pietro, they just found out they take a collection every month of people that are registered to pay the gatekeeper.
Wow.
So, okay, you put out the sign and then, you know, let people in and record them. That nobody.
At some point, one of these is going to break the
camel's. Do they publicize what day it is?
You figure they probably would have been paying enough taxes on this property to pay for two staff members at the new city. At the new city commission.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, because that's like a county requirement, right? Like it would be a county enforcement issue.
Yeah. No, they do check. You yeah. say that's the only people that come out of the tax people.
But anyway, at some point, someone's going to get onto this.
Are the dates publicized anywhere? Like, do people even know what day it's open?
Historical way, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I figured, but
it's the second okay. Saturdays or something everywhere.
I'll okay. tell her then. Next time she accosts me.
I don't know what she wants. Like a sentence.
Yeah, let's get a motion.
Oh, I'll make a motion that the Kaiser Estate boundary increase be accepted. Is that all we're asking, right? Yeah, does that work?
Okay.
Second.
That's my motion.
Nick, want to second that one?
Yeah, I can second.
Okay.
We'll take that as a yes. Any further discussion? All in favor? All right. I think it's unanimous.
The next nomination is for Clarence and Sue Thomas residents. This house is up in Manoa. It's an interesting house. I didn't know about it, so it's not in the Hartwood book. But it was one designed by Hartwood.
A very cool little house.
It is. And he did it. He got the property, I believe. Well, I guess I'll even show the pictures.
You have the write-up. We have the recommendation on this one.
I think she's patient.
I thought you had the collective group.
No, I just got the.
Here's the nomination.
I got the.
Okay. Oh, there's a recommendation. It's at the corner of Huilani Drive and Huilani Place. And next. It's on 1931. Like I said, Hartwood is the architect for the building. Next. And it's significant. The local level, the Criterion C is a good example of a cottage built in Honolulu during the 30s to the revival signifiers. The house includes a number of distinctive features that reflect its period in its design, materials, workmanship, and methods of construction. It's a very, very intact house. Next. Here is the house. I put it down at Tudor Revival because of the half timbering in the back. In the gable above and also for the interior as well. SHPD wanted modern, but I do not see how that can be considered a modern house. Next, here, the house is single story, but underneath, originally there was a garage, but now it's been turned into two rooms. Next. I'm quite sure Hartwood got the property. He was working on the Withington house above, which he designed and is on the registry. The land registry that a number of years ago.
Remember that. Yeah.
And Withington's owned this whole piece of land, and I think they gave him that property in payment for the house that he designed.
Gave Hartwood this property.
Yeah. Oh. So he lived here?
No, he didn't live here. He just the property, and then he built the house and spec.
Oh, I got it.
And I don't think we're in the nomination, but I do have some advertisements in the newspaper. He's trying to sell it. And then finally sells it to the Thomases. Has lava rock stone foundation in the front and the back is on Coastal Pier. Steps go up, concrete steps up to the lanai. The lanai, I think, has been the new balustrade at least. And I don't know if the roof is original or not, because again, it's a flat roof compared to the rest of the house. Next, here you can see that lanai, obviously not original floor, but everything else is. Door, next. Another small Tudor signifier has the thumb latch, which is typical, the original door, next. And you can see that thumb latch, next. The interior, again, half timbering, open beam ceiling, all very much true to Revival. Nice, again, board and batten, which would start to introduce a lot in their 20s. And this is actually 31. The door in the middle goes to a hallway that runs across and accesses the two bedrooms and the bath. All the original double hung windows are in the house. Next. You can see the view from the other side. And to the right is your dining room. Next. Flows into that. A flat arch opening. Next. Original floor as well in the house. Again, these are casement windows in the dining room, but they're all original. Kanex ceiling. Going to the kitchen. The kitchen is also pretty much all original. Has this porcelain sink with countertops on either side. Tile countertop over here. I'm pretty sure that cabinetry is original. Again, original windows. Next. Here you can see the sink and the cabinets there, all single panel doors. Next. And then in the back, they did only change. There was a wall here that went across, and this was a back porch with the laundry. So these windows are new that they enclosed here, but it still has the original back door too. And original board and batten ceilings are all there.
Do you know what the date of that change was?
No, I don't.
The pre, like,
yeah, pre. Ago.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Before the song, because they said get this here, because they tried to check that. Next. Here's the rear, the back door to the kitchen. It goes out onto a small landing, and then it steps down in the rear of the house. Next. Stair, the door, are we going in? Right in front of you, that other door is a laundry linen closet. Next. Here you see the linen closet open. All the original single panel doors are there. All the original knobs are there. The other door is opening into one bedroom. And here is that bedroom. Cross ventilation with the windows to either side. Double hung original. Also, it has an interesting plank ceiling in this room. Then original closet, set of double doors with the original handles, single panel. Next. Then the hallway goes down, bathrooms off the hall, and the other bedrooms at the other end. Here is the other bedroom. And again, couple hung windows, original doors, original floor, original ceiling. Next. Here's the bathroom, which has been reworked, but still has its original medicine cabinet, original tub.
Is the sink original? It looks like it.
I think the sink's original, yeah.
It might be, yeah.
It looks like it.
I wasn't sure.
It's just the flooring that doesn't look original.
Yeah, the written flooring is not. And then you can see the pop, the medicine cabinet. Next. Underneath, originally that was the garage. And I don't know again when that was converted. It was before the present owners. The left side is storage. The right side used to be a living room. It's now vacant. You can see they still have a lot of rock wall. The people that live there now are entomologists, so they keep all their entomology equipment underneath. Next, you can still see they have the track where the
garage door.
Stores were still there.
It's a side.
Yeah. Yeah. Full rolling. Next. Then here is the other side, which was turned into a living quarters laminate floor that still has the lava rock wall.
Somebody cut that.
All jalousy and windows. And then there's a door that leads out the back. Next. And that goes into a little walkway with lattice on either side. I really like this stick Seems like something Hart would do next. It runs through a hole in the stone, and then you stick it through a hole in the shelf. But it's, I can't figure out any purpose for it, but but it looks nice.
It's cool.
Hart, yeah. So anyway, and then that leads out onto a modern deck. And then a walkway down to the road from that deck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that yes. house. But very much intact. I think a really good example of Hartwood's work. Wood was a big advocate of the Tudor revival. Actually, he thought it epitomized domesticity. And a number of songs that aren't even done in the Tudor revival style have those open beam ceilings and the same kind of warm woodwork.
And I think Shipty's position on the whole Tudor revival thing is that it's sort of out of period for it. And yes, it does have Tudor revival references, but it's more in line with like a 1930s, 40s track home, which falls under the modern movement rather than the Tudor revival or style. So like some of the references are definitely there, but not in our opinion to the extent that it's a legit Tudor revival. It's this weird mismatch because it's not just Tudor revival. There's also Hawaiian regionalism in there with the lanai and the overhang, which runs more strongly, I think, too, than Tudor revival styles. Yes, you have some of the woodwork and stuff like that, interior and exterior, but like that Hawaiian sort of style that is not stylized officially seems to be the more prominent thing. And the best way that we came up with to resolve it internally was just to reference modern movement, because it would reference more broadly the catch-all for everything that building is Frankensteining together to create that cute little thing. So that was our justification for why we felt like modern movement would be a better classification of the style.
Understood.
Similarly, I think we had some issues contextually within the document itself under the statement of significance. It did significantly reference Bulletin 16A rather than make an argument for the building's significance. So things like that should be pulled from the nomination. We shouldn't be copying and pasting in Bulletin 16A into nomination documents. We should just be using Bulletin 16A to inform how the nomination document is completed.
Well, looking at, so we'll look at 16A, late 19th and early 20th century revivals, they pretty much run right up until 1940. I would call that, this falls within that period.
Yes, very much. And
I mean, almost all the Spanish colonial
revival houses on from the 30s as well.
Yeah, the Spanish colonial revival is right up to the late mm-hmm. the 30s. And if you look at those, like small houses of the 30s books, and they would refer to this as a Tudor cottage, probably mainly because of the cross gable
yeah.
feature on the front. That's a very typical thing of what they yeah. often they would on a place on the mainland, they would have a chimney next to it
mm-hmm.
where the entrance would be, and that's what would define it. But I've seen them with fabric like this or horizontal siding,
but
or
that's
brick
true
or...
of track homes too, though, from the 1930s and 40s, is that they would oftentimes I'm saying that it's indicative of the same period in that it referenced historical styles but wasn't a true example of one. And so there's, I think the question is, what's the distinction? Where is the threshold from where we actually say it is that style to when we're saying that it's referencing that style and it's actually its own thing or something different?
I see where you're going with it, but I would actually say the tract homes are mostly post-war.
Yes, very much.
Especially
in Hawaii.
Yeah, it could be in Hawaii, but I think that they all began pre-war during the industrial.
But the famous ones.
There are also other examples of true Tudor revival homes in Hawaii on the register. Having their exact addresses is not something I can pull off the top of my head, but Jess and I did research those when this came to my desk. Yeah.
And again, I think like most in the nomination that it's a modest example. Probably to a modest.
I think the other thing that gives it the Tudor feel is the mullioned windows. That's
the interior.
The the paired mullion windows. That's what would probably differentiate it from a quote, what they then called colonial cottage, wouldn't have the mullion paired windows. And you got some casements too. You've got that bank of windows in the gable end, which, and there's a kind of almost like an oriel window quality to part of that too, which is signature Tudor.
Might just be choose different paint colors on the outside. It might look more Tudor, you know, like it seems like it is, yeah, a modest Tudor, Tudor cottage.
I was wondering if the paint colors were original or not. I don't think they must be. Blue. I mean, yeah. That's not.
Yeah. No, the blue wouldn't have been, but the, I think modern movement is a little misleading because,
yeah,
I would think
it's got, you know, I'll admit it's got some like hybrid bits to it, you know. I mean, it's Tudor is not native to Hawaii, right? So
we got a lot of it, though. We got a lot of it,
but in order to kind of adapt it, I think, you know, he took some liberties with deviation from the style to make it what it is. But I mean, out of all of them, it's like, yeah, okay, maybe it's, if we can't do a hybrid style, unless we can.
Well, it's
you
like.
Can. It says you should have three styles if you're going to call it hybrid.
Three. Tudor. Hawaii regional.
I mean, you could do like storybook or something like that.
It's kind of, yeah, almost.
It's got a little bit of quality of storybook.
Kitchen sink it.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what this thing is, because you're right, like there are some strong Tudor elements, but I can't get over the Hawaiian elements, like the lava rock, the lanai and the roof line, and the windows themselves could fall. You're right, they are seen in Tudor revival style homes, but they're also seen in more Hawaiian regional styles too. So it's like sort of like, what category, like what kind of, yeah.
Anyway, I think the massing and the cross gable and the lack, Hawaii regional, I think we kind of accept that it has to have the bell cast roots. Otherwise,
if we are gonna adjust the architectural style to include Hawaiian regional, I would suggest maybe thinking about adding additional documentation, because a lot of the documentation that we see in the presentation is not actually in the nomination. There is no documentation of the lava walls from the inside.
I wouldn't call it what Hawaii regional. I think the signature thing in Hawaii regionalism has to be the double pitch roof, the bell cast roof. That otherwise it could be any number of different things.
And I think this one doesn't have a strong indoor outdoor, which I think is also like Hawaii regional.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's trying to make a case that the lava, well, I guess you are, is local materials, but all the craftsman buildings here also have the lava rock too.
Then you have to pull everything.
This is kind of like, remember that house on Kauai that was 70s, and they were trying to make the case that it was Hawaii modern.
I do.
And
I do.
And Historic Hawaii Foundation was like, no, it's not Hawaii modern. It's bungalow or something they called it, or what they, you know, some other thing. But, you know, it was, even because it wasn't within that period of when mid-century modernism was prevalent. I think that this is like the same thing. It's like, it's not.
I just can't put it in
capital
the
T, Tudor.
But I'm willing to do other sorts of hybrid-y things and stuff, but I wouldn't want to call it part of the modern movement. I think the modern movement comes here post-war pretty much.
Yeah.
A couple Art Deco things earlier.
We also have, don't we have a couple buildings on the register that are, what we call them, not modern, but modern or whatever? We had like an E up there.
Yeah, that's sort of, that's streamline modern.
Yeah, that's a very,
that's streamline modern. That's kind of 30s.
That's like 30s.
A lot of our shop houses, a lot of our basic.
Well, that Ives one that you showed previously.
Well, and all those, the commercial buildings, a lot of them were built in the, even in the 20s, some of those are more modernistic. Yeah.
So they, that's a different. That was 20.
But I think for houses, right, pretty much a low pitched roof or a flat roof you'd expect.
Unless you're looking at early modern, which is like 1915 to like 1940, there is a modern movement in America that predates modern, like high style modern, which is like international style, where you start to see a simplification, and it's not quite modern or art modern or art nouveau or one of those, but it's like this in between where you do start to get these track type homes. You get the sort of Sears and Roebuck type, not the kit homes, but the like the pre-plans homes that are in the catalogs and stuff like that. So
arguably prairie stuff influenced by prairie style is in a modernistic.
Yeah, it's sort of like early pre-modern type of category that isn't quite caught by any other style. And so they're just lumped into early modern before the simplification happens after the war.
When you get a marginal property like this, we're not going to get absolute agreement.
No.
I'm comfortable with Tudor.
I'd like to make a motion that the Clarence and Sue Thomas residents be accepted to the state register, of historic places under criterion C.
Either you or Nick. Second that for purposes of.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Further discussion? For discussion, I guess I would have two things. One is I do not have strong feelings about finally parsing architectural styles because it's not really my wheelhouse. So I'm happy to defer that to you all. I go along with that. The comment about the significant statement, I would say that that's not a, obviously I second it. It's not like a deal breaker, but I think that going forward, it isn't really appropriate to quote out of the bulletin. I've not seen that done before.
The reason,
it would be better to just as they I just concur with Shibji's opinion on that.
Okay, the reason that's there is something is an argument Carl Scholl and I had many years ago, because I disagree with the National Park Service's definition of period of significance, and that it's not talking about significance. That quote is for why the justification for this period of significance chosen. The reason I chose the period of significance as the date of construction is because that's what the Park Service says you have to do. Mm-hmm. And so Carol said, yes, you may qualify that that's not what you think the period of significance is, but it is what the Park Service says the period of significance is.
Okay, yeah, it's just anomalous with how other people do it, so that's why it's a little.
Well, why did you want it to be listed?
So why? Yeah. Why,
why,
did, you
why
not
did you want to change agree? The period of significance?
I think things are still significant. Number one, I think the whole time the house is up to 50 years ago is it's significant.
Well, yeah, you've done.
Yeah, that but they also say you don't want to cut it off at 50 years. But then I see you often.
Yeah.
Last time we started cutting them off at 50 years.
Yeah.
They're very clear about don't just make it up to the last 50 years.
Well, I mean, it's just complying with the guidance, and it doesn't necessarily.
I think the date of construction is fine.
Well, the only reason why we have to in Hawaii have to cut it off at 50 years is because the definition of a historic property is if it's 50 years old or older. Like other states where they just have the National Register, like I've used before, Ground Zero was identified by the keeper is National Register eligible just shortly after 9/11 happened. And so there are other resources too that meet criterion consideration G, which are historic resources that are less than 50 years old. So that's why we've done it typically in Hawaii. And you can extend your period of significance up to the 50 year mark or say that it still maintains its significance in the document. But yeah, Park Service will push back and say, like if you're listing it under criterion consideration B, for example, with a person, if that person no longer resides in that residence, then the period of significance would end after they either moved out or passed away or something like that.
This is one of my complaints about them, because they very clear in the writing that you shouldn't just say 1922, whatever it is, 50 years from now.
Right.
Yet I helped on a nomination in the Virgin Islands, and they recommended precisely that as the end date. And so again, they're not
appropriate, right?
But I think the date of construction is acceptable.
That's what I write down. I said, Parkser says that, that's it.
That's fine. I think what Shifty is saying is that you quoting the bulletin directly is inadequate information as to why that's the date that's chosen.
I put the additional sentence in.
But we're telling you that it's still inadequate, and so that's something the NPS
is.
The statement of the summary of the statement of significance is to summarize the points in your statement of significance that
it does that too. There's a paragraph above that.
The Thomas residence is significant on the local level under Criterion C as a good example of the Tudor revival style house built in Honolulu during the early 1930s. The house includes a number of distinctive features and is typical of its period and its design materials, workmanship, and methods of construction. The house is also architectural significance as a good example of a market residence designed by Hart Wood.
Right.
That's two sentences.
Okay. Yeah.
So
that's the part above.
And that's fine.
And it's called summary.
That's fine. Please don't be condescending. I'm telling you that Shipti has stated, we don't want you to quote the bulletin.
It's
so
not quoting the bulletin.
Your next paragraph for your summary of statement of significance is a direct quote from bulletin 16A.
Yes, that's because it says in the summary paragraph, it says justify the period of significance. So
provide a summary paragraph which includes the level of significance, applicable criteria, and justification for the period of significance, and any applicable criteria considerations. So that means you need to explain to us why you're picking the significance and summarize these key points as to why
this
home is significant.
Significance statement does.
Technically, all he needs to say is that
why we want a summary.
Wouldn't he just need to?
He needs to, you need to, I should say, to anyone, in your summary paragraph, you should include a quick summary as to why in all the boxes above that you fill out for your statement of significance section for section, what is that, section 8?
Mm-hmm.
Why you chose those items, why you chose the period of significance, why you chose the criteria that you chose, and just briefly summarize it in that section. It's not appropriate in the summary, the summary of the statement of significance, to then add additional quotations directly from bulletin 16A, nor is it appropriate to do that within the full narrative of your statement of significance. If you want to add a footnote, that's fine, but the document itself should provide a concise summary of the annotations that you made before you did your whole narrative part and your criteria and your period of significance. So
that's what it can do.
But he doesn't, does he need to do more than say date of construction?
He needs to say something like, I picked the date of construction because the 1928 or whatever it is, because that was the date that the building was constructed. Yes.
That's what he said.
Seems redundant.
Yeah, it seems like that's what he said. And I think he was just
extra
justification for why that was.
Yeah, in every single nomination we've received from Don, he puts this quotation. It's not just a one-off. I'm saying every single nomination we have this quotation. It's not adequate enough as a reason.
If I might just interject here, kind of stepping back on whether the statement is appropriate or not. I think the intent is to make sure that the information is there and how it's presented stylistically, I think is maybe a little bit outside of the scope of what we comment on. For instance, if we ask them to revise, you know, no passive voice, only active voice or something like that, I think Don here has justified his period of significance. He maybe has a different stylistic approach than Shifty might want to pursue. But I think, you know, for me, as long as that information is there, I understand the argument that he's making, you know, it's sufficient to me, irrespective of the kind of, you know, whether he's quoting, whether he's citing, something like that. So thank you.
I agree.
And if he says the reason for that date is the construction date, that
mm-hmm.
should be sufficient.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in there. It's for the, you know, if the quote is problematic, maybe making it a footnote would be a change that would, you know, make be a little bit more.
I guess you've learned not to make
this
case again.
But, you know, just saying it might be another way to do it. But I'm good.
Don't
I'm
do that ever again.
I mean, omitting it or leaving it in doesn't change the information that's in it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're judging, is whether or not the information is substantial enough. So he could add McDonald's is his favorite fast food joint, and that has nothing to do with anything, and it shouldn't be in there. But
yeah, and I'll just tell you that if
you
comments
know?
Like that are made just across the board in nominations,
yeah.
Shifty will continue to recommend that a nomination be deferred until it's redacted because it's not.
But we're not asked.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I think the way that you guys stated it was that him adding whether or not he likes McDonald's is
him justifying the date of significance. And that wasn't the sentence that he was justifying the date of significance. He's justifying. It has nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say it has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And it's fine. 1928 works. Right? I mean, it's...
I think it's covered.
I
think we could recommend that in the future he not bother trying to beat a dead horse, but...
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a motion in a second.
Oh, wait. We already motioned and seconded.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were just restating that.
So,
how are we doing it again?
Everyone in favor of accepting the nomination of this property? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said 2:30. We got 15 minutes.
Okay. Here we go.
I've changed my 2:30. It's 3 already.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, no, it is. It's already 3. So I got a couple minutes.
I'll do this presentation, then I'm going to have to go see. Actually, read my cards and tell me.
Sure.
Okay, so I'll let you discuss without me.
Okay.
Hood naming young residents on Montserrat. Next. It was built in 1948. It was designed by Lewis and Cook, and the perfect builder at that time was working for Lewis and Cook as their design architect. Next. Young residents significant at a local level under criterion C is a good example of a house built in Honolulu in the late 40s by Lewis and Cook. The house includes a number of distinctive features typical of this period in its design, materials, workmanship, and methods of construction. Lewis and Cook, there was some objection to me mentioning Lewis and Cook. I don't know why it is. They're prolific. Building supply house in Honolulu. Right now, we don't have anything of Lewis and Cook from after the war. Everything we've got registered, there's around a dozen or so Lewis and Cook houses prior to the war. This is some of those that are listed. All rather modest houses. That was one of the things they were not going to compete with architects. What they wanted to do was elevate the level of design for modest houses. And that's why they justified providing plans. So they limited to the square footage and the dollar amount that would go into building a house, so not to compete.
And they didn't have architects like Ray Morris working
for them. Ray Morris did then. Yeah, they had architects working for them, but he definitely didn't want to compete with other architects. He was doing a service that other architects did not do. And so Bear was continuing. Here, after the war, has a picture of Herbert Bear down at the bottom. And you can see the house is different. Every house is different in design, but it's following a similar thing. You can see the living room on the right and then the projecting bedrooms on the left. So the plan that they were using. So the plan that's used in this house is a typical plan for Lewis and Cook at this period. Next. Here's some stuff Herbert Baer did. He's best known for the Diamond Head Ambassador, which is not on the register. The house on the left, Edwards' house, is on Noella Drive, is registered. It has a really nice sunken living room. And then the Farias building in Kailua was also registered. It's a nice little modern building. Next. This is a house, again, very simple. I'd call it a tract home. And I think that's what Lewis and Cook was doing. Single wall, double girt on the outside, post and pier foundation, hip roof. Next. Here's the rear of the house also. Again, the front and rear bedroom projecting out your back steps. And actually, this house is raised and they have a laundry room underneath. Front wrought iron railing, very typical of the period. And this one has a little geometric pattern, slightly different than other ones. I don't know if it's because the Youngs were Chinese or not, but
I would hazard that that's welded steel, but keep going.
Yes.
Not wrought iron.
Oh, steel. Okay.
I think it's welded steel.
Okay. I'll go with that. Okay. The screen door is original. Oh, next slide. Still has its original handles. Next slide. Front door is original. Also has its original handles. Next. Inside has the original floors, K-neck ceilings. The circular
white picture on the top is also original. Only major change in the whole house is the use of jalousie windows, which is typical of the period. But when this house was built, jalousies were just being introduced, so I'm quite sure it's not. And also you can see the wall is reinforced under the windows, and I'm quite sure there were sliding windows there to hold the weight of the glass, and which was typical of seeing in some houses. Next. Going back from where I was standing the other direction, you have a little dining room area. And to the left is the kitchen. To the right is a walkway going into the hall. Next. The kitchen is all original. You have the cabinets with the stainless steel handles, which I like quite a bit. And they have the facing on the back, which I've only saw up in Waipahu at that building they're going to tear down. And so I was quite impressed to see that there. Next. Also, things like the doorbell is still there. The up and down sliding door for the back door of the kitchen. And also the cabinet there, I'll show you in a minute. So there's the doorbell. He hasn't gotten it working yet. Cool. That's his next job.
Yes.
There's the kitchen door, which you see. And also you can see the cabinet has all screen shelving to allow ventilation up from the bottom, which again is typical in Hawaii from the period. So I'm impressed that such a modest house has such a good kitchen. This is the second good kitchen you've seen. Adrian, don't expect to see good kitchens.
I know.
It's rare.
No, this one's really nice. I love those handles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, the kitchen also has the original light fixture as well as the Kanek. Next. Here's the hallway. I'm from one bedroom. There's a bathroom, second bedroom, then a third bedroom at the end. Next. Here is the other front bedroom, and again, corner windows, which, again, having supporting piece of wood underneath. Next. Here you can see the jalousies. The jalousies are fairly old. They're, I'm expecting, from the late 50s. It's a lever kind of jalousy. Early ones were all crank, but this one has lever, and the style of the handle is different from what comes out in the 70s, late 60s. So I'm quite sure this was done in the 50s. Maybe early 60s. The bathroom has its original light, original ceiling. I can't remember the next slide. I think that's it. No, it has the original shower also, and also the medicine cabinet. And I think probably the lights on the side are original.
Sconces.
Yes. Next. Here is the middle bedroom. A closet the same as the other one. I'm sorry, I write down the whole thing again because someone doesn't want me to say similar. And but that's there. Kanek ceiling, everything else original in the room. Next. Again, ceiling light is there. Next. And here's the third back bedroom. Has, again, windows, cross ventilation. Everything's original. Next, except for the windows. And then again, a closet similar with built-in shelving. Next. Underneath the house is the laundry room. Has the original door with the original handle. Next. And here you can see the laundry room is still pretty much intact. Has a toilet as well. A single panel door there. That's a new handle on that. Also, you'll see the window in the bathroom next. This is the precursor of the jalousie, where you actually have fixed slats.
Add that in my lures and cookhouse.
Mm-hmm. So that's still intact as well. So very much a very active house, which for a modest house, I think it's very good. I'm gonna go feed my
dog. Okay, we can talk about you when you leave.
You can. We've got one more to do after that.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Well, Sophie, this is a good one for us to work on. Is a good one for us to work on stylistically. It is a style.
Yeah, but she's a style.
but it is local to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I would say this one I would call modern period.
I think that's one.
Modern movement.
Is it here? Let's see. What did I put?
I would call it modern movement. And I think we're going to have a style that's called like transitional.
Yeah, or something like that. I think I was so confused with the style. I remember sitting down with Jess and being like, what is this?
It's actually, you know, I've done a lot of surveys here.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of common post-war. It's like an extension of the plantation style house from the before the war.
That's what I think I had put down, was that it wasn't modern, but it could be placed under plantation style. But I also know his documentation. Oh, I'm so sorry. His documentation today is different than the nomination.
But anyway, I would call it modern movement because it has these modern elements.
That's fine.
You can almost call it Wrightian. The corner windows. Yeah. The triple girts are actually line up with usually horizontally divided double hung windows, so that there's a continuity of line.
The jalous windows too calls into question that little bit of Hawaiian, you know, twist to it, because that's not typical of most mainland homes from this time period.
It is in Florida.
In Florida.
Yeah, in fact, they call them Miami Loopers in Florida.
Those two places. Yeah, so that's why, I think it was like my first meeting, I was like, we need a style guide.
Yeah, well, I'd really like to work on it with you.
Yeah, I'd love to get one.
I think that would be great. Like I said, one time I kept pushing for this, like maybe 15 years ago, and they just hired somebody. No offense to Brianna, but they didn't last very long, but they did it all on their own and like landed, gave it to us. And it was like, wait, that's not really what we said. So I think you should consult people who've been doing it a lot too.
Yeah.
And you know, there is the Lures and Cook's own catalog. And then I've got a huge collection of all the reprints of all the national catalogs that were put out in the 20s and 30s.
Nice.
And they have little terms they use too. Colonial house, colonial cottage, and things like that. But we could come up with a nomenclature.
Yeah.
But this isn't much repeated. And this, I would say, is closer to the tract house that you were talking about. There are some sections of Palolo that have these houses built in groups, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's that veteran housing on the Eva side up there in the back of Palolo like this. So
it was Jasmine Street, uh-huh. Like that little corner up in there.
Uh-huh, that was Alfred Price, I think, yeah. So anyway.
I'd say is probably a bit more modern leaning. I mean, we mentioned vernacular earlier. Is this...
I'm kind of hesitant about vernacular too, because... these are often have architects.
it's not a no style house.
Pretty
it's
much.
A some style house. And vernacular is, I don't know.
Usually that's a definition, is no architect.
Vernacular is like not intentionally associated with a design style, but, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so.
Common design for the everyman type thing.
We're just saying somehow modern movement, transitional. And transitional plantation or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Plantation
uh-huh. revival.
If you go out to, I don't know if it's still there, but Verona Village in
Eva.
Still there. That's perfectly like a lot of modernist elements,
mm-hmm.
sort of a diagonal screen at the door and grouped windows on the corners and all those things. A lot of things are common. But this triple girt. And the only reason we call it a girt is that's what Lures and Cook catalog actually says to call it.
It's always nice to have like original catalogs and things like that, because you can go back and, I'm always with landscape, I'm always like trying to figure out, well, what do you call that kind of light post exactly? Like it had a name.
You wouldn't think you'd call it girt, because a girt technically would be more like a heavy beam on the interior.
Mm-hmm. Everything has a name though.
But it's a horizontal element, so. We used to have Ken insisted all siding was called clapboards, and I said no, and we had fights about it here.
Talking about Ken Hayes.
Here we are.
Oh, Ken.
Sharing. No.
I heard he passed away.
No, he just left.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, somebody was making thought.
I heard
that he
two
had, like,
stories, and they're pretty close to the source. One was that a general's wife wanted to put it. split system in the house he was living in. And he said, you can't drill through the walls. It's against the federal laws. You have to use window units. But then I heard another story that said the general wanted to put a lock on the bathroom door. And Ken told him that he would go to prison if he were to do that. Ken, I could just hear him saying that.
And that's what it is.
Where did he go?
I think back to his mom and dad in Massachusetts or something.
That's the reason he left.
Yeah. Actually, Jesse has his old job.
I looked
job.
At it already. Okay. Yeah, it's fine. I think there.
Remember Jesse?
Like...
Jesse. Otto? Yeah. My former students got his job. Uh-huh.
It should have some.
Yeah, we started.
I saw him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's back.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's interesting.
The house that we thought was
beneficial. Because you missed that
presentation.
Sorry, grade 6.
Not on my list.
I've got a thing that I've got to get.
Do you ever?
She's.
I am on it.
And that's the guest.
But I don't have it on my calendar.
No.
I've got Mickey on my calendar. He's a preservation student, but I'm on his committee. Meeting at 201.
Today?
Uh-huh. I mean, I know, 201 room.
Right.
4 o'clock today.
Right.
We only have one more. The preservation Pauhana is at 309. You're welcome.
Oh, there's the Tokomomo room today.
Uh-huh.
There's the Tokomomo breeze block talk that Don and
but yeah, that's the house.
Where?
At Native Books
tonight
in Chinatown.
I won't be able to do that.
It's at 5:30.
And then
by the way, while we got a little pause, I'd like to make a couple announcements tomorrow. Bundit is putting on a memorial concert for Richard Lowe. Many of you don't know Richard, but he was a fixture at the School of Architecture. He died at age 95, but he came and helped out with crits and things like that. He was kind of an honorary member of the faculty, and Bundit was very close to him. So we're doing a money raiser at the school auditorium tomorrow at 5:30, if anybody wants to come. Probably you sound like you have family and they make it hard to do that, but
yeah,
it'll be very nice. We have a lot of there are a lot of musicians of different sorts, so all of you are welcome to come. And then on December 5th, yours truly is giving a presentation at the AIA. That's a Thursday on architectural conservation. And so Kirsten and Don and Glenn and Allison are all going to be on a panel. I'm going to give a short presentation, and it marks a book I did called Architectural Conservation in Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific Islands. So that'll be a fun event on the 5th.
What time?
4 o'clock in the afternoon at the AIA. We were going to have it in the evening, but apparently they're doing something there. Air conditioning. So the landlord's turning the air conditioning off every evening at 6, so we can't do it then. We just moved it back to 4.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
So please come.
It's good that it's earlier.
We're doing a webinar on December 11th. I think we just announced it about architectural investigations and how they can help with conservation sites, cultural sites. That's pretty cool.
And Andrea and I are working on experts at the palace. The only one that's missing is Adam, and he's had health problems. He was going to talk about Pu'ukohola, and I wanted him to talk about that, but if he's
did
got,
he, get back to
he hasn't. So we're gonna have to find a substitute because I'm supposed to talk to him Tuesday, but I was supposed to talk to him 2 weeks ago Tuesday too. He has cancer, so that's part of the problem. He thought it was in remission. But I haven't heard from him, and his boss wouldn't tell me what's going on. So.
I think we should try and go ahead and vote because we have a hard stop at 4 and we have to get through the voting and motioning and all of that.
Yep.
And then we
someone's got questions.
Let's go ahead and vote.
Yeah, and then we can.
I'll make a motion that the young residents be accepted to the Hawaii State Register of Historic Places under Criterion C, I assume at the local level.
Is there an issue with the style thing?
Yeah, local.
Okay.
Is there an issue with the style thing we can ask now? We have a second yet?
Yeah. Oh, do we have a
second? I'll second.
Oh, Nick.
Okay.
Nick seconded that.
Yep.
Sorry about that. There's a delay.
You know, I think this is, speaking of transitional, Jessica and Sophie and Brianna, I think we got to accept that this is a work in progress, the stylistic attribution. I don't think we should hold it up on the basis of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. What does he call it?
Well, currently his nomination has it listed as no style at all, which makes the nomination incomplete. So if you wanted to pass it today, it would be passed under a no style nomination.
Could you?
Can we give our style? Can we say modern movement in caps?
I think one of the challenges is that Shifty's comments back to him were to remove all mentions of modern. So initially he did have it as modern, but Shifty advised him not to, and to remove any discussion of modernism.
I'm just looking at the broad categories, Nick, of that are on the register. So modern movement is the broad category.
He said that he doesn't want to make a backwards move because Shifty's original comment was to remove modern as the classification, and so he titled it as no style. So us saying put it back would just be a reverse movement there.
Modern, it's modern movement is the capital version.
So I was saying put it back rather than should we say put it back.
What?
Sorry, you're breaking up. We can't quite know what you're saying.
I think I was just clarifying that it wouldn't be Shifty saying to put modern back. It would be the board asking him to put modern back.
Yeah, if you guys have the authority to tell him to put it back, that's...
Let's call it modern movement. Let's use exactly the phraseology from 16A.
How did they define it?
Huh?
How do they define modern movement?
I think it's actually post-war, pretty much.
They have a few things. Post-war, no, modern movement.
They have modern.
Post-war.
I understand what you're saying. They have modern as well.
Yeah,
modern sort of pre-war.
Modern movement, but I feel like in that there are different
subclasses.
Yeah, there are.
So if you'd like to put plantation style, as you had mentioned earlier, Bill, we could do that as well. So just
that'd be fine. Let's say plantation style.
Okay, cool.
Or we could even make one up because there are tons of them. We could even call it transitional plantation if we want to.
I like plantation revival. I'm still going.
Okay,
you're
so revived
immediately.
Modern movement as the style with our umbrella style with plantation style underneath. I'm just clarifying because
yep,
he's not
I think
here.
That's fine. That's fine for now.
Okay, cool.
Till you and me and whoever else does this
yep.
guidebook to style for Hawaii.
I'd agree with that amendment. Is that an amendment? What is does
yes.
he have to change things?
Yeah, because right now the nomination is just listed as no style at all architecturally.
So now we have to.
So the form isn't complete
so
right now.
So we have to defer it.
So it would have to be.
So we need a new motion. I'll change my motion to defer the young residents to the next meeting so that the nominator can change or add information about the style. We recommend a modern style with subcategory of plantation.
Do we have to defer it for that change?
Yeah. Because he's got to add that information in there. Because he took it all out.
And then it'll be a few months before the owner gets the good word.
Yeah.
Well, can't leave stuff blank. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
It's not like a precedent. I'll second.
We're deferring is the plan. All in favor? Okay. What's the next one? He has one more.
McLean residence.
Last one, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's do the preliminary talk on this one. I think this one would qualify as mixed style. It is three or more styles.
Oh, are you kidding? I can't tell.
I'm not kidding. I mean, exactly. This is definitely mixed.
Eclectic.
It's a, no, at the bottom, mixed style, it says.
You want to call it
more than
style?
Three styles from different periods.
Okay, I'm noting those down.
Because it definitely is colonial revival. It's definitely craftsman. And I think you could argue that it's a little neoclassical revival.
Interesting. I put post-medieval English colonial style.
What'd you call it?
Post-medieval English colonial style.
If we talk about the same one, this one right here? Well, you see the craftsman brackets, right?
Yeah, I was very
confused. You see that the symmetry and the scale is more colonial revival. And the way the door is definitely colonial revival. It's Adamesque.
So you want
to... And so that's...
What was the third one?
Colonial.
The third one is neoclassical revival, which is the porte cochere.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree with those three. You have colonial, craftsman, and neoclassical. And you want the overall term to be mixed or...
That's what it says according to their thing.
Mixed style? Okay.
Wow,
that's
because one of the three is on there already. Do we want to accept it and then
two more? He says so, colonial and craftsman, doesn't he, or something
like it?
I think that
like
would be. I think we could accept it as it is.
You know,
but I think in the future, if we ever get something like this, you could also say it's late shingle style.
Good. It's almost if it was a different color, it'd be green and green.
But the shingle style carried over into colonial revival too. You're right. It's got a little green and green. That's
the
kind
of craftsman. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the other issues with this nomination that's like completeness is that it doesn't include a photo key, which is pretty key to understanding.
How do you edit it?
Yeah, there's no floor plan.
Did he not add it?
I don't think he added it.
Yeah, he doesn't add any of those in any of his nominations. Yeah.
I've got to admit that I do think, who's just here? Maui.
I'll just.
Stanley. I think Stanleys are great, but. You really have to get into it to check each one out.
The NPS does, so what the NPS does is they don't require floor plans in the nomination, but they require photo maps, like photo map key, and that's how they get their floor plans in. So it's kind of like a two for one. They get the floor plan and they see where you're taking the documentation from.
Yeah.
I just looked at this. They recommend the photo map key, but they say
nice
that you can just the explanation
it.
Is sufficient. From the northwest looking, you have to say the direction.
Yeah, you have to be very specific.
But
if
you don't really have to have
key.
A photo map key.
But it is highly recommended.
I think Kiku could do those for him.
Draw them up for him.
She's been doing them plans.
Well, the response being that if they're provided as a courtesy to the review board is actually not really accurate either. It's recommended by the.
It's
you know,
yes.
I mean, it's
recommended
a little
by the NPS.
It's a little bit of a flip response, frankly. But
is that a bit? I mean,
I get those a lot.
Oh, we're not going for like completely
accurate.
No, they just have to be a sketch
enjoy
plan.
It.
That's what he uses now.
Especially the
Condon used that main plan. Really, he wouldn't do anything. But it's a sketch plan. But I'm not sure we want to insist on having a map key to the photos.
No, it's really the NPS's cup of tea, and that's what they like. Also, if you're going to add floor plans and it's a multi-level home and you're only adding a floor plan for one of the levels, you need to supply us with all the floor plans for the
home.
Yes,
it depends on their viewer. I did one recently for the Virgin Islands, so they didn't require the map key. They just wanted the description and the direction in it.
It's pretty mild, honestly. I've seen worse.
Since we have a moment still, I still think that I think we need to give the people who are doing it more direction on photographs. Not the type of photograph, but I was confused. What's a photo log? And it's not really clear from what we've said to our people. And
Stanley's nominations should be the standard of what the documentation phase should look like.
Well, I found out they consider what Don does, since it's an integral to the document, as the photo log, as opposed to the actual digital submission. So they call that a photo log.
Well,
when you send in the actual digital photos as a...
No, there's a section of the form that you have to complete that you list all of the photos that you took labeled in the way that follow the National Park Service guidelines. And that ends up being your photo log. It's embedded within the nomination.
I'm saying the same thing as you. I'm saying the same thing, but they also are suggesting when they write about what the photo log can be, that you can abbreviate if it's the same photographer and the same property.
Oh.
They seem to feel that you can abbreviate that.
Yeah, so this is what your photo log should look like. It looks like a table of contents. It has the year, the date taken, the photographer, all of that stuff. In your actual thing where you have the documentation, I know, Nick, you can't see this. I'm so sorry.
What nomination is that?
This is Kawaharada. This is from today.
Okay, yeah. So Nick, if you looked at the Kawaharada resident or store or restaurant, sorry, that's the nomination she's referencing for the photo log and photo documentation.
So you're saying this doesn't even have, but the photo itself, does it have a label? Sophie, does the photo itself have a label?
Yes, it does. So essentially,
so he repeats the label?
Yeah, so you do the photo log, which has all of the information, each title of the photo, where it's taken, all of that stuff, the camera facing, all of that, it's labeled. And then on each page with the photo itself, it has, it's the caption, which is the caption that the NPS requires.
It's not like a little
redundant. And then the NPS, they love that though.
And then,
but on the other hand, that I was told that this is, the whole thing is the photo log. They don't want that, that the actual photos are the digital ones that you have to submit separately.
No, it's in the nomination.
Well, you can submit them.
They say that won't, that isn't up to their, it isn't up to their standard.
Yeah, they have in the past, like previously, remember back in the day when we actually had to send them a physical hard copy of the nomination, physical printed out photographs, a physical USGS map, which you had to order from USGS, right?
Uh-huh.
And then it transitioned to, they wanted all of that, but then they wanted a copy burned onto a disk. And one disk had to have just the nomination document and the continuation form, which we're not even enforcing use of the continuation form. We're allowing them to continue to type in the main 10-900 document, whatever it is. And then you had to have a separate disk that had all of your photos downloaded onto them with all the file names saved pursuant to the National Park Service guidelines for naming conventions for digital photography. And then I think they had to be a specific file type as well. And yeah, it was different, but now they're accepting more and more nominations where you embed the photo directly into the nomination itself.
No, because
but they still want, you're right, the photos submitted to them separately as
the separate guy. I think his name is Jeff.
Separatist.
Jeff wants to have a digital upload of the photos because he says he can't grab enough large enough photo off the Word document.
Yes, and that goes to two, that all of these files go onto the National Archives website and then they actually upload those digital files so that people can actually see a better, clearer picture. It also should be noted that after that whole section, like I think it's on section 9, page 11 of the form document, the form explicitly does request a sketch map, which is what they reference as the photo log. So some reviewers may say that they recommend it and other or say that they require and others are cagey on it. But technically speaking, you do need a sketch map with the photos keyed onto it as identified in the form.
That would be the safest way to go. But
yeah.
When I did, he didn't. The irony is, after all the difficulty of the USGS maps, after all the difficulty of the USGS maps, now they say they can just be embedded in the, you just do a screenshot of the part you want and embed it in the document, and that's adequate now. So,
and having to go and physically get a hold of a
well,
USGS map.
In my old SHPO office, we would just download, because all the digital copies of them are on the USGS website, so you can download them for free. We would download a copy and then go into it, and either using the guidelines on whether you did a pinpoint or an actual polygon, we would do that onto the digital document and upload it to the disk that you included,
no longer required.
And
only
then
the
later
photos,
just uploaded as a separate document.
Now
and Sophie's
only
got her
photos.
Hand raised.
She
got
local
Sophie's got her hand raised.
As much as I love this discussion, I'm going to end it because I think we could go on for hours because we're all professionals and we all have, you know, good points. But I think if we're already having comments about changing this new nomination's architectural style, we should just go ahead and make a motion to defer. Again, this is up to Nick and Bill to decide, but It is almost 3:40, and Adrian does have
I think we thought that this would be at. I think it still meets the requirement.
Like a half hour ago to go read.
I think we have just if we just mentioned two styles, as Don says, I still think it's adequate.
Well, if we change the style, he has to then input information into the rest of the
novel. But he has two styles, right? He has colonial, revival, and craftsman, right?
No, I recommend it craftsman. He just has late 19th, early century revivals, colonial. So he's missing out on a lot of other features.
Yeah,
of the
it's
house.
Definitely got craftsman features.
Yeah, so I recommended craftsman. That was the only thing. But my only thought process was, as Adrian does have a cutoff, I would love to get a response on this one instead of.
Okay, shall we do a motion?
But it's totally up to you and Nick to decide if that's what you want without the presentation. But
I just.
If you have any more comments,
you understand a little bit as a board having to. I mean, we're dealing just with Don on this one, but we are sending him away with a whole bunch of incompletes with clients who are going to be wondering why they aren't getting their things completed.
I agree, but we provided him with some feedback and comments previously to this. Yeah, and that's part of the process. And again, if you want this to be done differently, we can do a rules rewrite where it doesn't get to this stage before it officially gets kicked back. Those are sort of the options that we have. And if you guys want to maintain to be the entity that does that, then this is like, this is the process.
But you understand, we have a public relations thing too. Like those people, I had to talk to them outside and they were disappointed. Their read on it, we didn't get accepted because it didn't have the Nimitz thing. I said, no, that's not final decision. It's going to get listed. And they said, really?
Yeah.
So they didn't get it.
Oh,
yes.
You don't want to dictate your
rules
or convictions.
Yeah.
Did you
do it in time?
Yes. Two other people didn't. Oh.
Good timing.
It took me longer to park than it did to get into the car.
You're hoping you'll come back.
No, I think we're afraid that you got towed. We're running off.
You're doing the last. Oh, you finished the
We've
last
already one? Done it.
You
yeah.
need that? Oh, either
so I guess we have, do we have a motion on this one yet?
No, we don't.
So we have.
To go back, because he was gone, we made and passed a motion for the young residents.
Oh, yes. Do you want me to summarize or do you want to do that?
Please.
So the young residents was deferred under the commentary that you add the overall umbrella style as modern movement style, capital M for both. With the style of the home being plantation style, and it's been deferred until the next meeting.
That's it.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
That's it. Okay.
And this one, it's going to be very similar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
Do you want to make a motion already? Because we've looked at it.
Sure. Because you can't make the motion. We're going to make a motion to defer this one as well, the McLean residence on account of style, because we're talking about colonial, having multiple styles.
Mixed styles.
Mixed styles.
There's actually a category, mixed
colonial
style.
Craftsman and neoclassical.
I think we could do three, and that way it's a mixed style.
Colonial,
craftsman, neoclassical revival.
Okay.
The porte cochere.
I always associated that with commercial buildings.
Neoclassical revival.
Up in bigger buildings, not commercial always, but
usually neoclassical is colonial.
I think of the big houses in a suburb in Atlanta or something. They got columns and stuff. Those are all the neoclassical.
If it's civic, it's federal,
the
right?
1920s, 1930s.
Yeah, there's
the precursor to the McMansion.
Yes,
there were some here like that.
All right.
Okay.
That it?
We need a second.
We need
a second
and a
vote.
Nick seconded it. Any further discussion? Well, I feel like we're somewhat changing our style midstream, and I apologize to Don for having to take this back to your clients.
It doesn't matter. We have to be.
We should have. I've been, to be right about this, I've been pushing for us to clean up our styles for the longest time, and I'm glad we're going to be able to move on that.
I think that's great. I think I strongly encourage it in any way that Shifty can help do that or whatever.
So Sophie, you and I could get in touch and get anybody else who wants to be on the group.
Yeah.
The working group.
You gotta vote. You have to vote.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Okay. Like, call the question. Like all in favor? Yeah. Deferring? Okay.
Thought we had.
Is there a way we get off this horse? Do you have to adjourn or?
No, we gotta do next meeting dates.
Oh, right. Yeah, you have to approve the agenda for next year or next meeting.
When is that?
It is February, I think.
February is good.
Yeah, it's in February. I just put my calendar. I think I put it in here already.
We also, we have to approve the limited meeting as well.
If you 21st, intend to have a limited meeting for that meeting, yeah.
Yeah.
What is the limited meeting?
The limited meeting is the meeting where have limited access and site visits are conducted to the sites on Oahu that we can get access to. And that is typically the Thursday before the review board meeting, and any board members who are able to attend are invited to attend. But because it's a limited meeting, meaning that there's a limited scope, you're outside of the normal meeting room situation with public accessibility, we have to record or in the next step rule on why reporting that limited meeting isn't feasible. And then you have to vote on whether on which sites you're going to attend site visits to, so that it's in the administrative record and we can publish that to the public. And if any members of the public have issue with it or have comments or want the meeting minutes from that meeting, they can say no to how to reach us or talk to us about it, and that you guys are doing that. It's all transparency and stuff.
Do we have a tentative list yet?
I believe so, right? Don't we have a tentative list for the next? Oh, wait, did we get any nominations for the next meeting?
I've got a whole bunch of deferrals.
Except for John's. Yeah.
We're going to take a rerun. The
deferrals are the deferred. I don't think so.
So then we can't call a limited meeting.
Yeah.
Because we have to.
Which
name
also,
one.
I don't put together the agenda. So that's not, I would have like.
Yeah, we surprisingly haven't gotten any nominations for that's the next review board.
And if
I
we.
Learned about it a week before they would do.
The February one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had sometimes. So what we could do is just plan. Well, I mean, even if there is only one nomination, we could probably just defer that to the main meeting.
If we got, well, two things, because like this is a domino effect situation. We could theoretically schedule with the proper advance notice online and stuff, a meeting to talk about scheduling a limited meeting for the next review board meeting, because since we don't have nominations for the February meeting, we likely won't hold the February meeting unless you guys want to meet anyway.
Oh, we got to defer. We have to take care of deferred.
Well,
ones.
We deferred his till the next.
Oh, yeah. Meeting. Other than deferred. That's right. Well, I forgot about that.
So if we don't have nominations to go over for the next meeting, then there is no next meeting, but the deferred just go to the next scheduled one.
Yeah. So we can still have those February meeting then to deal with the deferred ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, if you want. I was saying.
Yeah.
You would just
no, I think it's
all.
Only fair. So we should do it.
Yeah.
We can't
give
let
us something
people.
To do.
We can't
yeah.
let people. We can't let
let's
people.
Let's hold the next February meeting for the deferred items from this meeting, and then we just can't necessarily identify the limited meeting.
Right.
And
we
schedule
a limited
meeting.
Maybe we
can
have a discussion
that.
On.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. What's the cutoff days for nominations for the February meeting?
I think it was there was a date in October, I believe.
Oh,
I can't remember the exact date off the top
passed.
Of my head.
Oh, okay.
We could have a report of the style committee.
Yeah.
Sophie,
that
we could have a
good
report
thing
of the style committee.
February. Oh, I don't even know if I'm going to get to that. Okay, yeah.
So we can approve at this
we
point.
We can do it. You and I working together can do it. In a,
Yeah.
Get Brianna on it. We'll have it done in an afternoon.
Well, we could have a discussion. could we verbally identify an agenda for the February meeting, which would include all items deferred from this meeting, and then a discussion about how to move forward with style conventions for the state of Hawaii?
Or even a draft, maybe a draft.
Yeah.
I'll create like a draft or something that we can go over. That's like a working PDF document. And then from there we can make changes and see how that goes.
I've got a whole bunch of ideas already. Here for 32 years also, working on this.
He's like, Graham wants to go home.
Yeah, and then in the next review board meeting, we can go over establishing the, like, per usual, the normal agenda and limited meetings for the following meeting. Yeah, obviously. Yep.
Jess, did you want to mention
Hike the Stairs?
Oh, Hike the Stairs and Makai Golf Course, I think.
We could talk about that. And if we wrap this up, the approval of the agenda for the next meeting, I'll do a really quick lightning round staff agenda while you guys walk out the door and we shut down this. Well, we don't need to get out of the space. Just Adrian needs to get out the door.
I need to.
So
I
can you guys
get,
vote
I
on the agenda for next meeting, tentatively?
Yeah, I got to get to a meeting.
How do we? You want
to? Somebody needs to make a motion. Somebody needs to second and somebody needs to
I'll make
to
a motion
vote.
That.
Next, the agenda for next meeting will include the deferred items from this meeting, as well as a discussion
about
on
style,
a style catalog for Hawaii.
Sounds great.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Cool.
Done and dusted. Wait, can you make note of that? I'm away from my notepad.
It's that. That's a who? All in favor? Who, second.
Graham,
who?
Graham motioned.
I motioned.
Oh, I'm so
it's
sorry.
Okay.
To
no worries.
Adrian seconded, and then unanimous.
Okay. All right. And then quick lightning round. I don't know if our staff report next.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So quick lightning round. There is a program comment that was passed by the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation for our Mission 66 era structures and different project types that can proceed without consultation under Section 106. Similarly, there's a program comment out for public comment right now on projects that involve the climate, transportation, and housing. We have very serious concerns with that one. It would allow for a lot of projects to go ahead and be implemented using federal funds, federal lands, without Section 106 compliance. That one is still being consulting with the public on it. So if you have concerns, please take a look at that. There's an ACHP website. We can provide you with a link. The Advisory Council on Historic Preservation also already passed an exemption for Native Hawaiian organizations. There are a number of different project types that can be conducted on federal land using federal money, et cetera, for specific, very specific historic resources like low-E fish ponds, things like that, that do not require Section 106 consultation if they do work to continue to restore and maintain those sites. Like I said before, there's a Section 213 report out there by the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation requested / required the National Park Service complete on the Lahaina National Historic Landmark District. The gist of it is that the district is still there, but the period of significance included historic properties, that sort of thing, needs to be reevaluated, potentially expanded in some areas, and then the district boundaries may narrow in others because of the fire. And as soon as we get a permission to share that 213 report, we can share it with you. There's a feasibility study out there for the Ka'ena Point National Heritage Area that if you want to review and comment on, please do. We have new staff, including Brianna Schmidt. Mary Kondama is now the acting architecture branch chief.
Yay.
And Jordan Calpito is the new acting history and culture
Mary.
Branch chief. And then now I am the administrator and deputy state historic preservation officer for SHPD. Is there anything else for updates? I think that's probably it. But yeah.
For new business. Linda LeGrand was here earlier from Lama Manoa and she passed out.
Yep.
Indicating that the one house was demolished
yes.
on the cover that was registered. Did they
it was.
Not that I'm aware of. We just we have an old 6042 submittal, nothing that we can find under 6010. So we'll probably be taking a look at whether a violation needs to be issued or not.
Yeah,
it because
it was rather arrogant.
Well, my assumption is that they just assumed that 6E42.2 applied, not paying attention to the fact that 6E10 is there. And if they are getting property tax exempt, we'll work with the county to see what's going on with that if we can.
Lock them up.
Project.
I can. We might be able to. Like, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. A violation may be issued.
I actually do. My friends.
Violations do go into the special.
Destroying the cultural property.
Yeah. Is that all that I had to give them on the agenda? I think so.
Well, I want to thank.
Haiku Stairs, we are going to be contacting you all to schedule a special meeting, not an official hearing, to address the Haiku Stairs request for the board to hear an appeal. It's Shifty's contention that it's not an official appeal because they are not appealing the determination of effect, rather the mitigation that we request they do. And so we will be following up with you all again to try to find a date to schedule that meeting. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. Is there background stuff about, I know the Haiku Stairs thing has been going on for a while. We talked a little about getting some background information just to understand that.
Absolutely.
Of this, I would love to see more.
We have a whole folder that I think we prepared for the review board members previously with the administrative record and things to that nature. Mary and Sophie and Brianna, I think we have to talk to Chandra about that file because I think I gave it to her to share with the board members. So we need to make sure that Adrian is linked in. I don't know if it's like on the OneDrive or if it's a file that we just send all the documents to you guys. I can't remember how we did that, but we need to give Adrian and Trish access to that file.
In particular, I'm curious if anybody's ever made any kind of determinations prior or nominations or evaluations.
Recused
myself because I did.
So. Okay, because I couldn't find it. Just looking online because I was curious. I could find nothing. So
it wasn't listed, but there were a couple different. When the land transferred, there was an evaluation. There was some talk, I believe, of it in the evaluation during the H3 project. There's documentation.
Yeah, so yeah,
it's really a cool history. It's unfortunate that it's in this situation, but
it's a cool history.
It's a really cool history.
I've done a fair amount of work on military sites.
Mm-hmm.
Defense and stuff around.
This is a nice. You're gonna, I think, enjoy reading it because it'll be a nice little node out there to add on to everything else that you know. Because there's just boundless, like, right?
It's still not enough. There's room for more history.
Yes. The book never closes, it just gets bigger.
Meeting adjourned.
We need to adjourn. Who's gonna adjourn? Like, Bill, do you want to adjourn the meeting?
I'll just say that since there's no objection, the meeting is officially adjourned. 10 minutes until 4.
Thanks, Nick.
5 minutes.
Bye.
I think
cool.
That's...
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, actually.
Nice meeting you.
Good weekend.
Brianna, welcome aboard again. Steph, thank you all. Sophie, thank you.
Having me at the first meeting.
Mary, thank you. Jessica, thank you.